I need a volunteer. Oh, perfect. Aubrey, come up here. She's even dressed up. The gospel today almost sounds like the opening of a joke. You know, a Pharisee and a tax collector walk into a bar. But Jesus is actually kind of contrasting these two figures. And I want to give you a little bit of a visual for this. Okay, Aubrey, I want you to think of the worst sin that you think anybody could ever commit. But don't tell me, okay? Are you ready? You know what it is? That was quick. Okay, I want you to go up to the top step here, and I want you to kneel down like you're praying. No, like right here. No, like face Jesus. There you go. Okay, now she's got her hands folded. Let's say some afternoon, Aubrey, you're here in the church, and none of the rest of us are here, and I walk into the church, and the lights are dim, and I see this little girl in this beautiful red dress praying before the altar. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, right? That is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. This little girl must be holy. She's a future saint, which she is anyway, right? Yes. And mom and dad shaking their heads, okay? So, and I come up to her and I say, you know, how's it going? Good. What you here for? And you say, well, I'm asking God forgiveness for hope. What's the worst sin you can think of? You forgot? Good. Well, I guess that's good. But let's say you say, well, Father, I'm asking God forgiveness because I killed somebody. Is that like the worst thing you can think of? Yeah, that's pretty bad, right? And I say, oh my gosh. And here it is. I thought this girl was like the holiest thing ever. Beautiful before God's altar, praying a future saint. And I find out she's actually an axe murderer, right? So, okay, very good, thank you. Then another day, I came into church this way, all the way around the back. It's confusing. I come into church on another day, and I see a guy sitting back in the cry room. He's got real scraggly hair, he's unshaven. He's got clothes that stink so bad you can smell them out here in the hallway. And I'm thinking, gosh, what's he doing here? And let's say, you know, he's holding a cigarette in his hand, right? Smoking in church. And I think, oh my goodness. So I sit down and I talk to him. And things similar to this actually do happen, where you come into the church and you meet somebody you'd never expect to meet. And I sit down and I talk to him, and the guy says, Father, you know, I've been hooked on drugs for years. I've been clean for a couple weeks and I messed up. I'm here to ask God's forgiveness. Now, I give these two images because that's similar to what's going on in the gospel today, the picture that Jesus is painting. And the difference is this: you've got one person who looks really holy on the outside, but they're not so holy on the inside. They've even gotten prideful about their holiness. And maybe being an axe murderer wasn't the best example. But you know, you can imagine little Aubrey up here saying, thank goodness I'm not like all the other people in this church. Murderers and thieves. And pride has set in, right? For the Pharisee. But in contrast, you got this guy who's a tax collector who's hanging way back because of his humility. He's afraid to even approach God. He knows he's a sinner. And on the outside, remember, tax collectors were very much hated. They were there to collect the tax for Rome. I mean, if you could imagine, you know, like Washington, D.C. invades Kansas and demands we pay them money. Oh, hey, they do that. And we're bitter about it, right? Because they're basically stealing from us. And this tax collector guy is the one guy in town, and everybody knows who he is. Because there's one guy in town who's the tax collector. We know who he is and we hate him because he represents that injustice to us. And he's the one guy sitting in the back of the church who's begging God for forgiveness. Which one are you? Now, in reality, I think at different points in our lives, we're actually like both of them, right? There's times that we kneel before the Lord and say, thank God I don't have an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Or thank God that I'm not into this or that. Or thank God that I've never cheated on my wife. I went down to visit somebody in the hospital a while ago. And I come in the room and they had to have been on something. I mean, like on purpose on something. And he first words out of his mouth was, Father, I've never cheated on my wife. She's sitting right there. I'm like, well, thanks for sharing. We tend to sometimes get prideful, right? About, I'm better than that person. And guys, God does not define holiness by how you compare to other people. God defines holiness in how humble you are in accepting who you are. That we all stand before God sinners, and every single one of us should be like that tax collector who stays in the back, not because we like hanging back, but because we're humble. Because we recognize our circumstances. Do only saints go to heaven? How many of you say yes, only saints go to heaven? Hands down. How many of you say no? You can go to heaven if you're not a saint. Okay, a little bit of a trick question. You do have to be a saint to go to heaven. There are only saints in heaven. Do you have to have saint in front of your name to get there? No. You don't have to be canonized, but you do have to be holy. That word saint comes from the Latin sancta, which is translated directly holy. So let me ask it another way. Do you have to be holy to go to heaven? How many of you say yes? Right. We all do. And this is the beautiful things, brothers and sisters. Whether you're like a Pharisee sometimes, or whether you're like a tax collector sometimes, every single person in this room has the same potential to go to heaven. Did you realize that? From the littlest child in this room who hasn't even sinned yet, despite what her parents think, to the oldest, most sinful person in this room who thinks, gosh, what am I even doing here? Every single one of you have the same potential because God has called you to holiness and He gives you the grace to make it happen. The thing that God asks us to do as we come to this altar today to receive Him in Holy Communion, that His flesh and blood becomes ours, is for humility. To at least admit before Him who I am and the ways I've messed up and my sinfulness and my need for Him. If you can do that, you will be holy.